May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 634. 634. When saints together meet, God's goodness to declare, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Of Christ they speak, of Christ they boast. While Jesus lives, they can't be lost. Hymn 634.
Thank you. This morning we shall read from three portions of God's holy word. The first is in the first book of Samuel, chapter 28, and we'll just read the first seven verses. This is the solemn account where we read that the Lord was no longer speaking to or answering King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 28 from verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head for ever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And we'll leave the reading there. Now let us turn to Psalm 28. We'll read this psalm. This is a psalm of David, and we see with David a very different attitude to whether the Lord was to speak to him or be silent to him or not. Psalm 28, a psalm of David. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked, and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavours, give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he will destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. And lastly, let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we'll read from verse 21 through to 28. Now this is the account of the Syrophoenician woman who, when she first came to the Lord was silent to her, but as she persisted, he then spoke to her. A beginning of silence, but a continuing with the Lord and the Lord answering. So from verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Lord, bless his word to us and help us now in prayer. Let us pray. We come to thee, our loving and heavenly Father, through thy beloved Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we would be mindful that as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. O Lord, do grant unto us that persuasion and knowledge that your heavenly Father knoweth that which ye have need of even before ye ask him. Lord, thou hast given us the institution of prayer. Thou hast made that mercy seat to be sprinkled with the precious blood of thy beloved Son and promised to meet us over the top of the mercy seat. Lord, do grant that we might come with large petitions. We thank thee that we come to him who hath made the world, the universe, and all that is in it, thou who sustains what thou hast made, the great as well as the small. And we know, Lord, that this world could not exist without the small, the atoms which we cannot see, and so many even of thy creatures that we cannot see with the naked eye. Lord, truly thy greatness is shown also in those small, minutest things that thou hast created and done. O Lord, do grant unto us to see thee in all of thy creation, to see thee in our lives. Leave us not deadened by the spirit of the world that is about us. They that would pull thee down from thine excellency, those who would despise thee and speak against thee. O Lord, do be pleased to grant that as we come into thy sanctuary, we might remember thy word, that in thy temple doth everyone speak of thy glory. Lord, we do not expect it in the world, in the amusement parlours, in the palaces of those who go about this world and its pleasures and its vanities. They only consult to pull thee down. But Lord, we thank thee that we can come into the house of God, amongst thy brethren, amongst those that desire to lift thee up and extol thy name and speak well of thee, and that are to encourage each other in the Lord their God. We thank thee that where there are the Jonathans that can go out unto the Davids in the wood and encourage them in their God, in their troubles, in their distresses. Lord, we do thank thee that thou art a God that doth hear and answer prayer, that there is nothing too hard for thee, that thou art in complete control. Thou hast made the plan of salvation, and thou art executing it day by day. Providence unfolds the book and makes thy counsel shine. And we thank thee for that, that thou art on the throne and not man. Now, Lord, as we gather for worship this morning, do grant, Lord, thy blessing here in Swayze Chapel. Do grant a true spirit of worship, that thy Holy Spirit be with us, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. We do commit unto thee the congregation here and the church here, and seek thy blessing to be upon them. Lord, we thank thee for the children, the little ones that are gathered, the families that are here, and we commit them unto thee that thy blessing might be upon that rising generation, that they might yet show forth thy praise to another generation. O Lord, do sustain and help each one. Thou knowest what trials that they may be going through, the difficulties, the uncertainties, the grace and help needed to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And especially we pray for those who feel as parents that they themselves do not have assurance as yet. They do not truly know the Lord themselves, and yet do desire that their children might be pointed to thee and that they might know thee. Lord, do help in that situation, that parents and children might come alike, come together, seek together, be in that same desire that thou hast blessed their souls and reveal thyself to them as their God, their Saviour, and their Redeemer. Lord, leave not any to be discouraged that because that they do not have the blessing, that they cannot then point others. Lord, do grant that there might be that going together in these things. Lord, some of us we can praise thy name and have, that we've had parents that or parent that has not had assurance themselves, and yet has done all they could to point us as children to thee. And Lord, we do bless thee for such that are seekers and that desire to bring others to seek as well. O Lord, do be pleased to bless dear age friends as well here. O Lord, they may have worshipped many, many days here, but Lord, have they worshipped? Lord, do grant them a true conversion, the new birth, to be truly changed, to be brought to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, we each grow older. Lord, do make it more and more urgent with us, that it be well with us while life endure, and well when called to die. We do pray especially at this time for those in affliction. We think of the dear deacons here, our brother at the desk. Do bless him and help him, but do we be with his dear fellow deacon. Do be with Mr. Baker, do help him. Do we thank thee for thy preserving care over him. We pray for healing mercies and strength again, and thy presence with him in this affliction. The Lord, we commit him and his loved ones unto thee. We do thank thee for bringing one who was in hospital last time we stood here, but has been brought out, and we trust with us this morning. And we seek, Lord, thy blessing to be upon her, and Lord, each that may be not known to us and yet have the afflictions and trials, and may be come into thy house today with thanksgiving, and desire that thanks might be given for mercies and for answers to prayer and for help through time of hospitalization and affliction. Lord, we thank thee when we can come like dear Hannah into the house of God and say, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition that I've asked of him. O Lord, do grant that there might be many here with petitions that they have asked of thee, and that shall come in due time to the house of God, yea, even to the church of God. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell what he hath done for my soul. We do pray for the spiritual life, strengthening of the cause of truth here, that thy word might be meat for their souls, that they might be blessed with love and strengthening of love and union one to another, blessed with the gift of being able to commune one with another on the best things. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And we do pray that that blessing might be upon the congregation here. Lord, do be pleased to add unto the church such as should be saved. Remember any exercised in their soul at this time, and do sweetly draw them. May they hear thy voice as to Moses and the children of Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. We do seek, Lord, to remember that thou art remember us in this land in which we are. We so prize the privilege of being able to gather unhindered in the house of God. We thank thee for it. We pray for those in other lands that do not have these mercies, these blessings. Remember them and those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We do make petition unto thee for those in authority over us. We come to a time of election of government, and we beg of thee that thou wouldst bring to our parliaments those that shall fear thy name, individuals, men of integrity, and those, O Lord, who shall have an ear open to good advice and shut to bad advice. Lord, men that fear the Lord. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to cause that as the lot is cast into the lap, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And Lord, we know that whatever happens, that thou wilt put in place over us those whom thou hast appointed. And Lord, when we feel our sin and know what we are as a nation and what we deserve and how we've departed from thee, we are not worthy to have over us those that shall fear thy name. But do have mercy and hear the cries of thy people, that thou hast granted unto us the privileges and blessings that we still have, and yea, even more, to see that righteousness once more exalts this nation, for sin at present is a reproach unto us. And Lord, we pray concerning our own churches, our little denomination. Lord, do have mercy upon us. Thy hand is upon us in many ways. We see it. Lord, do cause us to hear thy voice. Deliver us from self-righteousness. Deliver us from an ungodly spirit, a worldly spirit. Save us, Lord, from being of those that have a name to live and yet are dead. Do cause that we might know the way wherein we should walk, and that things that are wrong might be put right, that we might be a people that are known as those that fear the Lord. O Lord, we pray for our King and Queen. Do bless them in the royal household. Do keep them safe and grant them thy grace in their hearts too. O Lord, we do confess our many, many sins before thee. We make intercession that those that feel that daily battle, Lord, we know that it must be so. We are yet this side of the grave. We are still in a body that is a body, a mortal body, where corruption is, where sin is. Lord, do grant that help to fight the good fight of faith, to resist the devil, remembering that thou hast promised he will flee from us. And Lord, that we might be of those who strive to enter in at the strait gate, and who run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, do grant that we might be of those, instead of going along with sin, that are resisting it. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Lord, do help each one that feels their sinnership, and may they see that mark of thy people in those sinners. They are sinners that know they are, and seek for grace, seek for mercy, seek for pardon, forgiveness, seek to be sanctified, washed, cleansed, renewed in the spirit of their minds. Do grant us holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And Lord, may oft we hear from thee. Lord, we gather in thy courts now to hear thy word. Help me, as thy servant and ambassador, to speak on thy behalf. And may the people hear thy voice through my voice. And Lord, do bless them as they are given that faith from thee, given thy word from thee. O cause that they might be like the Thessalonians, to receive it as it is in truth, the word of the Lord. Lord, we ask the blessing of the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of God in our midst here this day. Fulfill the petitions put up prior to our gathering this morning, and may the song, the worship be to thee, and as we worship, may thy blessing descend upon us. We ask thee these things through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 1061. 1061. Lord, I believe a rest remains to all thy people known, a rest where pure enjoyment reigns, and thou art loved alone. Hymn 1061.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 28. Psalm 28 and the first verse. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Psalm 28 and verse 1. The great concern of God's dear people, that they do not even be like the wicked and like those that go down into the pit. And to be able to discern specific things about their life and about their profession that are marks of those that go down into the pit, like the Lord being silent to them and not speaking to them. We spoke of that solemn case of Saul and the Lord ceasing to speak to him or listen to him. And so while he had an alternative, he could go somewhere else. And yet the Lord had already said to him that rebellion was as the sin of witchcraft. And there at the end of his life, adding to his rebellion that he's already had in disobeying the Lord, he has recourse unto witchcraft. What a solemn thing, not concerned that the Lord was silent to him and begging the Lord not to be silent. But David here and all of God's children, they have one to go to. They have the Lord who is their rock, one who changes not. There's one thing that is very certain with God's people. I'd encourage with our first hymn, my meditation had been going to David and David's profession. He had much trouble in his life, the sword not departing from his family, trouble, chastening. But he says, although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. He had that which he could look beyond all the troubles and all the trials he was going through, and one thing was very sure, that which the Lord had done for him in eternity. And we would remember that God's covenant is between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. That is the covenant, that which was done in eternity. David speaks of it as if it is made with him. It was made with him as being the object of it, the subject of that covenant, like Mephibosheth was the subject of the covenant between David and Jonathan. And the first thing he knew of it was the messenger coming to him and calling him to go to David. And no doubt he went very fearfully. Was he going to lose his life? No, his name, or not his name, but being bound up as being one of Jonathan's sons, one of Saul's sons, then he had an interest in that covenant. And so David here, his cry is unto the Lord who is his rock, his God, his Lord. Now it's a great blessing if we know what David knew. I wonder how many of you here, those of you that know the Lord, those that he has called, like Mephibosheth, you might feel lame in both your feet like he was, and yet the Lord has marked you out by a call, by first, like Samuel, who did not yet know the Lord, but he was brought to hear the Lord's voice. In John 10, we read that my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. Our election is known by our calling. And our calling, though in time, yet it unlocks what has been in eternity past. And it's very important for us to realise that. God just does not decide to save one on the spur of the moment, but it is something that has been already settled and appointed and determined. And as soon as the Lord then begins with a sinner, that sinner knows that he which hath begun a good work in them will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And if there are those of you who are blessed in this way, who know you are called, there are those of you here who have made profession in the name of the Lord, may you always remember that whatever that you go through, whatever trials or tribulations the Lord brings you through, and you will have, for if needs be, through heaviness, through manifold temptations, yet in all these things to remember, the Lord is still the same. He is your rock, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And that is such a comfort, such a strength. And some of us can look back, we think of Psalm 107, where the psalmist is going down low, and then in crying to the Lord, he's brought up again, the Lord appears, and brought down again. And when we know something of that experience, we prove the Lord is the same. He hasn't forsaken us. He has appeared for us again and again. And it is a message that the Lord would send to his people, that I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And he which hath begun a good work, yes, if Jesus is once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. It is not a salvation that is with us one day and lost the next, that one day we are going to heaven because our feelings tell us that, and the next because our feelings are not that way, that we are going to hell. God's children may have that assurance and comfort in the Lord himself. There's a difference between assurance and assurance. In one way, we have assurance because of the testimony of the word of God himself, that he will never leave his people, that his salvation is an eternal salvation. And in believing that, in trusting in what God has said, we have that assurance, though we may not feel it. We might not have the joy of the Lord's salvation. We might not have the comfort of it. But there are those times that the Lord gives in a blessing such sweet assurance that to us, heaven is so sure. We feel as if the Lord would take us now, we would be immediately with the Lord. But those times, we must not look for them 10 minutes later. They are sweet, the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend. And it is important to discern those two assurances of the people of God, those two experiences. One that does change with the Lord's visits and blessings, and the other that remains the same, even though there's a cloud between. We know if we have a beautiful sunny day, we love the sun and the warmth, and then a cloud comes in between, no one would say, well, we can't see the sun. He's not there anymore. He'll never shine again. We know by experience that cloud will pass away. The sun is still there. And how different it is beyond the clouds. Many of you, no doubt, have flown in aeroplanes, especially the smaller ones. We used to love going from Melbourne to Tasmania, and you just break through the clouds at 10,000 feet or so, and you're just flying above the clouds. You feel you could just step out onto this white carpet. Underneath was dry, it was grey and perhaps raining. On the top, beautiful, clear, white clouds and beautiful sun. Very, very different. And we have those times when all we see is dark and gloomy, and but we know from past experience and know the testimony of the Word of God, the Lord remains the same for his people. Salvation that he has wrought on Calvary, the blood that has been shed for his people, the debt that has been paid, the burdens that he's borne, cannot be undone. Cannot be undone. That is sure and that is certain. And if there are those you then hear that have this, bless the Lord for that knowledge and that assurance, that which the Lord has made known unto you, that covenant ordered in all things and sure, and your part and your interest in it. There may be those of you that do not know that as yet. How concerned are you about it? And those of you that are seeking this, you want that blessing, you see the good of God's chosen, and you desire that that might be yours as well. Are you able just to be at rest and not concerned about that? Or is that one of your real concerns? That you truly do know the Lord, that he is yours. We have the exhortations in the gospel day to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near, and let even the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him. Now is the day of salvation, and none are to rule themselves out and say, I am not, I could never ever be one of the Lord's people. When we think of the Apostle Paul and his persecuting of the people of God, and he says, I obtained mercy first to be an example. He says, I am the chief of sinners. If the Lord has saved me, then he can save any. The salvation of God is for sinners. Sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. There are those of you that are concerned and awakened to your need. Be encouraged and strengthened in that. Come to the Lord's house desiring that the Lord will bless you, and especially in what we have really in our text, that he'd speak to you through the Word of God, because it hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. An opened ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. But what of those of you that may have no concern at all? You have no feelings as regarding your soul or where you shall spend eternity. Where will you be? Sometimes I have thought this, you know, all of us here, we could perhaps think of a number of years to add unto our life when we know that we will not be here below. If we are 60 years of age, you add on another 60, 120, you know that I cannot be here in 60 years' time. Those of you that are 80, if you were to add on 25 or 30 years, you know that it is impossible that you will be here below. Where will you be? Where will you be? You'll be in eternity. There's only two places. You'll either be in heaven or you'll be in hell, or in the way of our text, you'll either be with the Lord or with them that go down into the pit. May you really be concerned. Now, the message that comes through the Word of God is a message of alarm, a message of warning, an important message that is to be heard. It is a matter of life and death. You know, we know the importance of messages that we receive in life. Do we? Have we been awakened to our need of the importance of this message that regards our soul that is sinned, our state before God, our need of a Saviour, our need of pardon, our need of forgiveness from the Lord? May the Lord be pleased to use the Word to bring At first that concern and that cry to the Lord. But here we have in our text David's concern, the concern of one that is saved, one that does know that the Lord is their Lord and their rock. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. You might think, what is the concern? If they have heaven, if they have that security, if they have the hope beyond the grave, why is this person concerned? What are they concerned about? Well, David tells us, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. And notice he doesn't say, I become them that go down into the pit, but like them. Like them. God's people do not even want to be like the lost. And that was his concern. So I want to look this morning with the Lord's help. Firstly, a concern that God's people make known to God in prayer. David here is making known his concern to God in prayer. And secondly, it is a concern that they be not like those that go down into the pit. And lastly, it is a concern that the Lord be not silent to them. Picking out this particular aspect that marks the difference between the righteous and the wicked. But firstly, a concern that they make known to God in prayer. And I hope all of us, whether we are like David with this assurance or whether not, that we listen to this message here, this psalm of David, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. And he brings his concern to the Lord. No doubt there's some of you here that have had medical conditions where you've gone to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm not sure what's wrong with you, I'll send you for tests. And you have tests, x-rays or whatever it is, and blood tests. Now, what one of you would go home and not be concerned what those results would be? You know that you'd want to know what was in those results. You're concerned, is it cancer? Is it something serious or is it not? We know what it is to be concerned. A parent sending their child to school, maybe for the first time, concerned, how will they get on? How will they get on through the day? I remember with our children dropping them off at school and being so concerned, and perhaps they're upset at first when we drop them off and we're worried and concerned all the day long, and when we've gone to pick them up, they didn't want to come home. They're so happy. We threw all the anxiousness through the day and yet they were quite all right. But we know in simple things in life's journey what it is to have a concern, a real anxious concern. Do we have those concerns regarding our soul? Or is it just temporal things, just things of this life? The difference is the things of this life, we know about them naturally. But the concerns of the soul, if one has a concern for the soul, that comes from the Lord. I say to you here, if you are not concerned, be concerned about your lack of concern. And make that a matter of prayer. See what hard-hearted prayers can do. Don't think first, well, real prayer is inspired. Real prayer is for the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. But remember, that our Lord said, to ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you're a father, if a son asks him an egg, will he give him a stone? If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You say, well, asking for the Holy Spirit? Don't I need the Holy Spirit first? Real prayer does come from the Spirit. But our Lord says in the new birth that the Spirit comes in such a way it's like the wind. You don't know from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's so soft, it's so gentle, it's so imperceptible. And how often it is like with the Apostle Paul, the very evidence of that first beginnings of the work. Behold, he prayeth. And you might say, I don't know what to pray, I don't want to ask for, or make this concern for your lack of concern to be an ingredient of your prayer. But let's just put this out further as well. How oft it is, like we mentioned Psalm 107, they fell down, there was none to help. Where were they going to help? Then they cried unto the Lord. Is it not true with us so often? We try and help ourselves first, without prayer, without seeking the Lord, without asking his help. How many of you have concerns? Many things in life, you might fill a brother, sister's ear with the tale of all your woe, but you haven't brought it to the Lord. And we can do that in the ministry. We can be looking for texts. We can trying to know what to preach, what to set before the people, and be neglecting prayer. The greatest preparation for preaching is prayer. And the greatest preparation for a soul that hears is prayer. Because it's the Lord that will give the word and bless the word and seal the word. And we are to acknowledge that. We acknowledge that in prayer. That we are dependent upon the Lord. May we be then those that bring our concerns, bring our worries, new children that are here. When you have troubles and you have concerns, you pray. You don't have to rely upon your parents' prayers or for the family prayers. You pray. You ask God for help. You tell him. Often in the prayers of Scripture, most of the prayer is telling the Lord about what you are concerned about. Jacob said, Esau is coming. I fear him. I fear for the mothers and the children. His concern was that all of these things would be destroyed with Esau. You might have concerns of that. You're taking exams. You know what hangs upon getting the right grades. Your whole future is before you, whether you get into this university or that one. You have this concern. How many of you pray over it? The Lord often will use even a concern of a temporal nature to bring his people in the first place to him. So they know the path of prayer. Remember in Peter's epistles, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There were those that the Lord fed miraculously with the loaves and the fishes. He did reprove them that followed him over the sea just because they wanted the loaves and the fishes. But I no doubt there were those that saw the miracles and they followed him because they saw this was the God that worked miracles. This was he that was able to answer prayer. This was one that was able to help them. And it's a good thing when we begin in natural things and then we taste the Lord is gracious in that, and come before the Lord. Lord, thou hast blessed us with this. Thou hast answered our prayers. But my soul is worth more to me than the house and my job and my schooling and even my health. How is my soul? Lord, appear for me and bless my soul. And we are bringing these concerns in prayer. Some of you no doubt say, well, I have concern. But all it is just a fleeting concern. It comes on as you come through the door here on the Lord's Day. And as soon as you walk out, it just goes like that until you come here the next day. Be wary of such concerns, only triggered by those times that we're reminded of coming into the house of God, or perhaps things that happen in our lives. But it just withers away. It doesn't remain. Again, if that is you, be concerned for your lack of concern. Be concerned because of how you're acting and how you're feeling, and bring that to the Lord. And tell the Lord about that. A concern that they make known to God in prayer. Remember Joseph, he kept on giving his brothers things to bring them back to him and back to him. And the Lord will bring his people to have things to bring before him in prayer again and again. The message, the first part here this morning, you have concerns, you bring them to the Lord in prayer. You have those things you're anxious and burdened about, you take it to the Lord in prayer. And it's one thing to know the theory of it, the message of it, another thing to put it into practice. Because Satan so tugs us away. How often I've found it. I have my private reading. You come to the prayer time and something will happen. My mind will be triggered or drawn away, and it's often a real fight. A fight to have that close time with the Lord, personal time with the Lord. Do make time for that. Do be mindful of how much time we actually spend where we can have time with the Lord in prayer. And not if the Lord was to draw near and bless us and we say, Lord, not now, because 5 minutes later I've got to be doing this or I've got to be doing that. To have that time when you say, Lord, come, visit my soul, bless my soul, and you bring it before the Lord in prayer. I want to then look at our second point, and that is a concern that they do not become like them that go down into the pit. I think it's in one of Mr. Ransbottom's books, it's probably the Bible Doctrine Simply Explained, where he speaks, and I've heard the account several times, is where a nobleman was wanting a coachman, and he interviewed those that were to be the coachman and asked them how close they could drive to the edge of a cliff and not fall over. And various answers were given at how close they could get to the cliff, until one came and said, I would keep as far away from the cliff as I possibly could. And he hired that man for his coachman. May we never be wanting to live as close to the world as we can and yet still get to heaven. May we always be concerned, like the psalmist here, that he was not even like those that go down into the pit. No, it really tells us there's a difference, isn't there? When God works in a person, he makes a change, a difference. And there are those characteristics of those that are perishing. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my soul, there's no fear of God before his eyes. In the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're those that are following in the ways of men and not following after the Lord. They're those that do not follow fully. Remember what was said of Caleb and of Joshua, that he hath followed me fully. It's often been a real concern to me that I bring before the Lord. When we get those like Jehu, who executed the Lord's pleasure, exactly what he wanted on the house of Ahab, but he took no heed to follow the Lord with all his heart. We are not to do as the world so often does. They say, well, we've got some good works. We've got some good chapel going. We've got some things for us. It'll be all right. That balances the bad things in my life. One of our hymns says, holiness without a stain, they are thirsting to obtain. And yet you know we have a wicked, deceitful, unholy heart, one that is constantly casting up iniquity, abominations. And the people of God have got a constant fight, a battle against that. But David's concern here was that he should be like the wicked and bear in some resemblance with them. They took knowledge of them, said of the disciples that they had been with Jesus. God's people are spoken of as the salt of the earth that has not lost its savour, and as a light, and those that show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of nature's darkness and into his marvellous light. You know, our old nature all the time will crave to be indulged, and it hates the idea of being fully under the control of grace and under the control of the Lord. We need to be wary when we go to prayer if our old nature is saying, don't pray about this. Don't touch that besetting sin. Don't touch that particular thing, because when I finish praying, I want to indulge that. I want to do that. And that is the deceitfulness of our heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But as we go down that track, we are going down a track that's being like those that go down into the pit. We don't want to bear any resemblance unto them. The world loves its own. But the Lord says of his people, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And James says, whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And that doesn't mean to say that we're enemies to all our neighbours. We are to do good to all, the same as the Lord does, whose tender mercies are over all his works. God's people are to be known as good people, as friendly people, helpful people, those who go the second mile to help their neighbour. As you listen to the parable of the Good Samaritan as to who our neighbour is, it's not that we only just look after the people of God. It should be a reputation that we have, not as being stand by thyself, I'm holier than thou, or that there's some virtue in us. The Lord will make his people humble and to fear the Lord. But there'll be that desire to walk after the Lord in his ways and with his people, numbered with them may I be now and to eternity, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, the children of Israel were told specifically they could not stay in Egypt and worship the Lord. They had to come out. They had to separate. Egypt was like the world, like the things of the world. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. Ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The concern of David was that he should be even like the wicked. May we be very clear, there are those that are going down into the pit. They do have a life that is giving that message that this is their destination. And may our concern be that we do not have that mark upon us at all. So this is the concern. I hope it is my concern. I hope it is your concern that we are fully the Lord's, truly the Lord's, and don't bear even the mark and semblance of the wicked. You know, a solemn thing, and this is how low we can get, when Peter denied his Lord and Master, on that third denial, he was recognized by his speech. Thou art a Galilean, thy speech betrayeth thee. But he was frightened. And so he changed his speech. He began to curse and to swear that he never knew the man. You know, how often God's people are known by how they dress, the company that they keep, and how they speak. And yet, dear Peter, really, he knew if he changed his speech, he could then perhaps escape that association with being a Galilean. But may we be delivered from that thought and not want to be. I know it's hard, the children at school, and especially when you go later in studies, is very hard to be different, to be as those that don't do what others do, when everyone else is talking about what they did on the weekend. How often the temptation is to say what you did on Saturday, but not say, well, I went to the house of God. And this is the text I heard, and this is the message that I heard. It takes a lot. The fear of man brings a snare. And I know for many years, when I was younger, that is what I did. I avoided any reference to what was done on the Lord's Day. Later on, I used to find it very nice in the work situation, a colleague I worked with. You come in, did you have a weekend? Yes, I did. And he'd tell me about all his football and desecration of the Lord's Day, and I let him go. Then I tell him my weekend. I tell him where I preached and what my text was and what the message was. And if I had to listen to him, then he listened to me. But I could speak of that was my life. That was what was important to me. That was how I spent my time. And it's a good thing to remember that. To really think, I want to be really clearly amongst the people of God and not just try to be a bit like those that go down into the pit to escape the cross. Escaping the cross, and in doing so, to be like them that go down into the pit, may that be a real concern for us. May our prayer more be, Lord, overcome for me the fear of man. Deliver me, bless my soul. You know, when I was first started working one place, I so feared, and for months I could not even in the lunchroom bow my head in prayer, silent prayer, because I was fearful of what the men would think and what they would say. And I made so many resolutions and cried to the Lord, and I broke them again and again. It went on for months. And then the Lord came and blessed my soul. And you know, I went to work. I never worried about the men at all. Didn't care for them at all. I just bowed my head. And they didn't say anything. And then I started bringing in the Bible and the Gospel Standard and other magazines, and the men would be all around me, and sometimes they'd look at what I was reading. And the Lord was pleased to give me some very sweet blessings in the workplace. But I know that we need the Lord's blessing to take away that fear of man. But that was a real desire of me. I wanted to be like the Lord's people. I did not want to be like the world, like those that would have their meals and never ask a blessing and never give thanks to the Lord. May we really want to be as seen by God and seen by men as the people of the Lord, and not like those that go down into the pit. Well, the third point, the concern, a concern that the Lord be not silent to us. This is how the Lord calls his people, like he did with Samuel, who did not yet know the Lord. The Lord then spoke to him. The Lord speaks to his people through the word of God. We have the word of God here. He speaks through his ministers. Samuel thought that it was Eli speaking, but it was the Lord speaking. And the Lord often uses more than one minister so that they get the messages from where it is coming from and don't confuse the message with the messenger. Because we speak the Lord's word. We are the ambassadors of the Lord. And as so far as we preach the word and speak it faithfully, you are hearing the word of the Lord. And the Lord will own that authority of the word. Thus saith the Lord. Now we should be very concerned that we do hear the voice of the Lord. David here, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. He's singling out this specific point of the Lord speaking. The Lord speaking through the word. Really, in one sense, before the Lord speaks, like it was with Samuel, we do not know the Lord's voice, and we do not know the effect. But we know this, that the sheep of the Lord, they will know. And from that time, Samuel did know. There is a first time with all of the people of God that they hear the voice of the Lord. They know that the God of heaven and earth is speaking to them personally, through the word and through the ministry of the Lord. And those times will not be forgotten of them. They'll be special times. The word came expressly unto me. It will be that the Lord comes with power. Where the word of the Lord is, there is power. When our Lord began to speak, they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his lips. When the Lord speaks through the word, it'll be a different word. I remember dear Dulcie Jealous, who's a member with us, in her testimony, she said, when the Lord began with her, the Bible became a different book, the hymn book became a different book. It was the same book. But it was speaking to her. The Lord was speaking to her. It meant something. She was hearing it. Her ear had been opened. Mine ear hath he opened, is one of the marks of the new birth. The gift of eternal life is that the ear, that which we hear outwardly, naturally, but is then heard inwardly, and we understand it. We know what it actually means. Maybe I've used this illustration before, but if we were going on a holiday and we were going next day and everything was all getting ready and the husband came in and said, look, I've looked at the car, we've got a problem with the car, it's broken, we've got to get this repaired. And the family, well, how much will that cost then? And how much will it take to do? And not really worried or concerned, and he turned to them and said, "Have you heard what I said? I said that the car is not working. We are not going on holiday. It's finished. You know, you can have the word and not realize what actually is being said." Well, when the Lord opens the ear, when he begins to speak to his people, they understand what is being said. They hear what is being said. They realize that this concerns them. They're not just a bystander in the race. They are to be running the race. And the word is concerning their soul. And the Lord makes it personal. They can't escape out of that anymore. You know, when I was in my apprenticeship, first year, only 16 years of age, but the workshop made me the representative on the safety committee. And the workshop badly wanted safety shoes and a first aid cabinet in the workshop instead of going up to casualty. As I worked in a hospital, a maintenance engineer. And so I went as a representative to the meeting of all the heads of the department, including my own chief engineer and the matron and all of those, on the safety committee. And I put forth my case and I argued my case and I got the safety shoes and I got the cabinet, and I was mighty smug and pleased with myself that I'd beaten my engineer and I got these things. Well, I'd forgotten he was my engineer. I was accountable to him. I came back to the workshop and he came into that workshop and his face was like thunder, and I instinctively tried to hide behind my two fitters. He said, "No, you I want." And just that thought that I had got no shelter, I couldn't hide behind anyone, I had to be accountable for my actions and what I had done. I'd never forgotten the time. And you and I must stand before God and give an account. We can't shelter behind parents, behind anyone else. We must stand before God and give an account. And, you know, if we hear the voice of the Lord, that will be personal, as if we were the only person in the chapel and the Lord is speaking to us. And that message is to us. And sometimes the Lord will make it so special, you'll think the minister knows about you or someone has told him about you, because the word is so pointed. The Lord knows his people. He knows them exactly where they are. And his word is timely and it's suitable and it's effectual. And they know that he knows them. You read Psalm 139 and the persuasion of the psalmist that the Lord knew all about him, even when he was in the womb, before he was born. And there was not a thought that there was not hidden from him. And the Lord uses these ways. He uses his rod. "Hear ye the rod, and who has appointed it?" Jehoshaphat knew this. When his ships were broken, the prophet had already said, "You don't go getting gold and going with the servants of Ahab in the ships." And when they said, "Well, we'll go with you in the ships," he wouldn't do it. He'd heard the word of the Lord. He wouldn't try again. He didn't need to be told a second time. The rod of the Lord is the kindness of the Lord in chastening his people. That sometimes it has a voice in it. And the Lord speaks to his people as well through other people, through what they do. Well, I remember going a whole week with my dear one. We at the end of the week had to know whether she was to have a major heart operation or not. And we begged of the Lord to speak, to show us which way that we should go. Was the Lord going to speak through his word? He didn't speak through his word. The way that he did speak was that the specialist that we saw, as soon as he found out my dear wife had depression before, he said, "Oh, it's all in the mind." And he just stopped it. He wouldn't go any further. Well, she did need the operation. 2 years later, she desperately had it, and she had it. But in Providence, it did work for good. But because we were offended at his attitude, and how he stopped it, we didn't see the Lord's hand in it. So on the Lord's day, I said to my dear one, "I'm going to be at Luton, and in the afternoon I'm going to hear Mr. Jabez Bass at Ampthill, and we'll look to the Lord to give us direction." And you have a visiting minister, I think it's Mr. Ashby at Cranbrook. Well, in the afternoon we go to Amptill and we sit outside the chapel and the doors are all shut. And we went past the opening time, the doors were all shut. And I turned to Alan Rayner and I said, I know why those doors are shut. I said, I came here seeking for the Lord's direction and he gave me that and he spoke to me that on Friday and we refused to listen to it. I said, there's no need for this chapel to be open today. Well, thankfully, Mr. Bassey, I think he had been ill, he couldn't come, but he was all right. But the Lord had a message in that shut door. You know, sometimes the Lord can have a greater message when the minister that's supposed to be speaking to you is ill and can't come and the doors are shut. But the Lord will make sure his people hear what he's having to say to them. Sometimes through a still small voice, the voice of conscience. Sometimes it is when the Holy Spirit brings the word that I preach to you today, and yet in the week, suddenly in your work, that word comes back. You can hear it. I shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Lord speaks in that way. Sometimes it is in sweet meditation where the Lord is bringing to us his word again and again, right through the word of God, and it's like a sweet pasture. And we feed upon that word, and it drops in, and they're sweet, precious times. And they're very different times to when the heavens seem as brass. We come in and out of the house of God, and as if the Lord has nothing to say to us, and he's silent to us, and we don't hear his voice at all. And those are very concerning times. And sometimes it can be for a while, and it's good for us then to have this concern with David. Be not silent unto me. This great mark of the people of God, where they're coming to the house of God, they're coming to the word, and the Lord is speaking to them. He's not silent. There is something for their souls. They're feeding upon it. They're taking warning, taking instruction. He is speaking to them as his dear people. Well, may this prayer be our prayer. May we know the Lord's voice and have these concerns and be truly his people and rejoice that it is so. The Lord has not been silent unto us. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Wheatley will address the Sunday School this afternoon in the vestry. And Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and again next Lord's Day. The funeral service for Mr. Eric Palmer will be on the coming Thursday at 11 o'clock in this chapel, followed by interment at Fenstanton. And our friends at Oakington hold their anniversary service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1063. 1063. Nothing know we of the season when the world shall pass away, but we know the saints have reason to expect a glorious day when the Saviour will return and his people cease to mourn. Hymn 1063.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.